Morning. Today's daf in Zvachim is Zayin. We're in the very bottom of Vav Amud Beis. Obviously, continuation of yesterday's daf, yesterday's discussion. Yesterday, we continued along the basic dialogue, the narrative of the Gemara in terms of trying to understand, wrap its head around the idea that when a Kohen has a deviation, when he has a shinui, when doing any one of the Dala Vodos, and the Mishnah's example is shinui Kodesh, and we're discussing shinui Baham as well. So then, under most circumstances now, what it does is it creates a disconnection, disconnects the carbon from its owner. And the discussion that takes place back on Daf Hey, which the Gemara continues the discussion yesterday, is where do we find it? How can this exist where the carbon's not going to work for its owner? It's not going to provide any kind of kapara for its owner. It's not going to be credited to its owner. And meanwhile, but yet it's still going to be good carbon. Why would you bring the carbon altogether? So the question was raised back on Daf Hey, Reish Lakish and Rebbe Lazar have that dialogue, the back and forth. The Gemara continued it through Daf Hey, through yesterday's Daf, through Daf Vav as well. And the Gemara moved its discussion along to the following. We know that a carbon ola provides a kind of an atonement. I say kind of, I mean like this. When it comes to carbon chatos or carbon asham, so those carbonos are brought specifically for a particular chet. That goes without question. And in fact, as we learned in yesterday's daf, and you know, it's one of those basic tenets as it relates to carbon chatos, carbon asham, meaning the carbon itself applies to one avera. In other words, if there were multiple averas that were done, and then to be a little bit more specific, they have to be done in different halamos, but in other words, but generally speaking, the idea is that a carbon chatos, carbon asham, it's one carbon per chet. Mashainke, when it comes to the carbon ola has kind of like a broader coverage. The kaparva carbon ola would be for the bitul asay, for the neglect of a carbon asay. They would be the neglect for a mitzvah asay. So if a person failed to do mitzvah asay, a number of them, so the carbon ola that he brings would provide a coverage, a blanket coverage, for all the essays that he has neglected to have done, all the positive commandments that he's not done. Example I gave yesterday: a person didn't put on tefillin. Let's say a week straight he didn't put on tefillin. So now he's got a number of bittul essays, and even if there are other bittul essays as well. So the halach is that as it relates to the carbonola, you bring one carbonola, and that'll provide full coverage. The question on the table that the Gemara moved to yesterday was this blanket coverage of the carbonola. Can it work even after you were mafresh the carbon ola? You set aside the carbon ola, and then after hafrasha, but before you brought it, right? There could be a lapse of time between the time that you set aside as a carbon, the time that you actually bring it. So during this period of time now, can the carbon ola continue to serve as further coverage for all the bittul asays that you've done? Or is the idea that it is a blanket coverage, but it's only a blanket coverage up to the point of hafrasha? From the point that you separated it as a carbon ola, from that point going forward, it no longer provides any kind of coverage, and for that you're going to need another carbon. This is the question on the table. The Gemara's answer, well, the Gemara says, look, don't we have something similar to that when it comes to the se'irim that are brought on Shavuos? There are two se'irim, two goats, that are brought on Shavuos. Why two goats? Meaning we know the se'ir on Yantav is there to provide a kapara for Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav. We've gone over that extensively in the first two parakim of Masechta Shavuos. So why two goats? So the Gemara's answer is, I'll tell you why. Because the first goat that you bring is going to provide a kapara for Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav, and the second goat is for any violation of Mikdash V'Kadashav during the interim between goat number one and goat number two. Meaning in the event that somebody walks into the base of Mikdash in the state of Tumma between goat one and goat two, so goat two will provide coverage for that. The Gemara noted yesterday, if that's really the way to look at it, so then you'd be bringing karbanos all the time. Meaning, but the Gemara points out that Akash Baruch was chasech al mamono. Akash Baruch didn't want us spending all of our money on karbanos. But anyway, that's the idea. And so that seemingly is a good proof, because what happens is that you're mafrish this Urim simultaneously, concurrently. The Gemara noted yesterday, that's probably what happened. And meanwhile, even though they were already hufresh, even though they were already set aside, the second se'ir could serve as a kapara between se'ir number one and se'ir number two, even though it was mufresh already previously. And this seemingly would be a good proof that even after afresha, the carbon can serve as a kapara. That was the Gemara's proof yesterday. And then the Gemara noted yesterday that it's not really a good proof, because what are we talking about? We're talking about the serum of Yantav, which are carbon tzibor. Those are public carbonos. Public carbonos, as I pointed out yesterday, the word of the day for yesterday, public carbonos are fungible, meaning the money used for carbon tzibor is coming from public money. And the public money, when used to buy a carbon for the tzibor, so there, when Beis Din sets aside the money, or I should say better, applies the public money to buy public carbonos, so there Beis Din makes a tanai every time it's done so, meaning that as far as the kedusha of the carbon is concerned, flexible. If we need it for this, we'll use it for this, and if we need it for something else, we'll use it for something else. And because that's true regarding public money and public carbonos, so because it's fungible, and because it can be applied and, if necessary, repurposed, so therefore, you can easily imagine that a carbon tzibor can be, even after hufrash, even after it's set aside, because it can be used for something else, so therefore the rules of kapara, what it's mechaper for, are kind of looser. Meaning by virtue of the fact that it can be used for something else if necessary, so therefore the hafrasha is not an absolute hafrasha, and as a result of that, it can provide a kapara even after hafrasha. That's the basic idea, and that is all of what we saw yesterday. Everything I just said is just by means of recapping the last two dapim. And the Gemara says, carbon tzibor is different. Lay based in masna aleim. This is where we're picking it up in the Gemara. On vavam lebeis. Kid Rav Yehuda Mashmul, Dam Rav Yehuda Mashmul. Carbon tzibor sachin moshechus lamashehim. The Gemara quotes the statement of Rav Yehuda Mashmul. He's got such a great way of expressing it. The knife draws it into whatever it's needed. Meaning when it comes to carbon tzibor, again, the idea is that when Beis Din takes the public money and applies it to a carbon tzibor, applies it to a public carbon, so al tanai, meaning on condition. If we need it for this, we'll use it for this. And if we need it for that, we'll use it for that. And Rashi over here points out, and we learned this back not so long ago, and also this same Gemara is found in Rosh Hashanah as well, and that is, look, at the end of every fiscal year in the Beis HaMikdash. Fiscal year in the Beis HaMikdash is... beginning of the fiscal year is the first day of Nisan, which means that for the first day of Nisan, all karbanos from this point going forward, from day one of Nisan and onward, have to be bought with this year's money, this year's operating budget, and not last year's operating budget. We also know that there was always a surplus of six animals in the pen to be for the karban tamid. So that means that on the last day of the fiscal year, on the 29th day of Adar, could be a 30th day of Adar, but on the 29th day of Adar, so when we're offering the last carbon tamid in the afternoon, so that means that there are going to be six animals left, which were purchased with last year's operating fund. And that now, next day you have these six animals. I can't bring any of those six animals on day one. Why can't I bring any of them on day one? Because with day one, meaning the first day of Nisan, I must buy animals using this year's money, not last year's money. So what do I do with those six? So the answer is, well, if we have this idea that when Beis Din sets it aside using public money, and because the public money is fungible, and so therefore the carbon itself is fungible, meaning that the idea is that if I don't need the carbon now, so then it will simply be reapplied to something else. I can't normally do that with a carbon. When you set aside a carbon, that's it. It's fixed. It's absolute. But when it's done with carbon, when it's done with public money, so you're allowed to do that. So the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Yosef, Bered, Rav Shmuel, Rav Papa, Mi Yisrael, Rabbi Shimon, Lei Beis, Masna Aleim. So the Gemara says, okay, that's fine. But look, we're trying to explain Rabbi Shimon, because if you remember, the Brisa yesterday, we was quoted in the name of Rabbi Shimon. So in order to explain all this, Aliba to Rabbi Shimon, you'll have to assume that Rabbi Shimon holds Lei Beis, Masna Aleim, Amar Rav Edi, Barav, and Amar Rav Amr, and Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara quotes in the name of many Amoraim, going back to Rabbi Yochanan. Let's say I have a carbon tamid which is no longer needed for the tzibor. Like the example that I just gave, where at the end of every fiscal year, you're going to end up with six animals that are not needed. What do you do with these six animals? So, ledivrei, Rabbi Shimon, around the top of Zayin Amud Aleph, ein niftin tamimin. So Rabbi Shimon says, here's what you can't do. You cannot redeem them. You can't. Meaning they are tamim, they are not blemished. And so therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, you're going to have to wait till they get a blemish, and then and only then you can redeem them. Why? In other words, why can't you redeem them? Well, the simplest answer is because they have Kedushas HaGuf, they have intrinsic value, intrinsic sanctity, and anything with Kedushas HaGuf cannot be redeemed unless it develops a blemish. Yeah, but didn't we also just get done explaining that if it's a public carbon, if it's a carbon sebor, since when sanctified, it's done so al tanai, it's done so on condition. If I need it, good, and if I don't need it, so then it can be repurposed, it can be reused for something else. Obviously, that's exactly the point of the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon doesn't subscribe to this idea. Rabbi Shimon does not hold to this idea of lev based on masna aleihem. Continuing in the Gemara, in the top of Zayin Amud Aleph, l'divrei chachamim niftim tamimim. Now, according to the Chachamim, you redeem them. Meaning, what you're going to do is you're going to deconsecrate them and buy them back with next year's money, with the operating budget of the upcoming year. And according to the Chachamim, how can you do that? The answer is lev based on masna aleihem. But what we've just seen together is that according to Rabbi Shimon, he doesn't subscribe to the idea of lev based on masna aleihem. And the Gemara goes on further. Va'od, habai minei Rav Yirmiyah mi Rabbi Zera. The following question was asked from Rabbi Yirmiyah to Rabbi Zera, Siri at Saris. Let's say you have the two goats of Shavuos, Shekibol Damam and B'Shnei Kosos, where the bloods were collected in two cups, meaning that they were, let's assume, they were mufresh together, they were set aside together, they were shechted basically together. Now the bloods are collected in two different cups. Benizrak Damo Shel Rishon. So now I sprinkle the blood of the first seir on the mizbeach. And now again, we're talking about the seir of Yontav. That means that it's providing a kapara for Tumas Mikdash VeKadashav. But now I have a second cup, Sheni Lamuhuba Al Tumas Sheiru Bein Zrika Shel Zeh LeZeh. So the second cup is there to provide kapara for what? For any tumah that happens between cup number one and cup number two. Now let's keep this in mind. That means that we are past the point of afrasha. We are past the point of zrika. Sorry, let me say it better. We're past the point of afrasha. We're past the point of shkita, meaning we have the bloods now in the cup, and we are now entertaining. Well, maybe if there is tumah that occurs between cup number one and cup number two, maybe cup number two can provide a kapara. Now, ad kan lo mibaye. I'm skipping the parentheses. Ad kan lo mibaye le ella ase delachar shkita. Now, we are past the point of Shechita, obviously. And we're asking the question about Tumah between cup number one and cup number two. Meaning, inherent in the question, it's a no-brainer. It is absolutely understood that just because it was mafresh them together, for sure, the second Seir could provide a kapara for any Tumah that occurs between one and two, even though it's post-Afrasha. So in other words, in the beginning of the whole discussion, we were asking the question, well, can it provide any kapara after the hafrasha? Over here, we're past hafrasha, we're past shechita, we're at the point already where the blood is in the cup, and now we're asking the question, well, is it going to provide a kapara for anything at this point in time? So it's understood, it's like, the question didn't even get off the ground at the point of hafrasha. So the Gemara says, Dilmim Timse Lamakam. The Gemara says, well, you don't know what was built into that question. Meaning, maybe the question over here of the Gemara could just simply be the end of a series of questions. Meaning, the first question could have been, can it provide a kapara post-afrasha? And if you're going to say yes, can it provide a kapara post-shechita? And if you say yes, could it provide a kapara right before Zrikas Adam? Meaning, it could very well be that all we're hearing right now is the last question, but maybe the last question was built on a series of questions beforehand. So even though that's the question that Rav Yirmiyah was asking, but it could very well be that it was built on previous questions as well. Okay. Well, this ends the previous discussion of the Gemara. As a recap, the Gemara's question was really primarily on the carbon ola. It's kind of funny. The Gemara is asking about the carbon ola and the broad coverage of the carbon ola, and then the discussion kind of bled into, pun intended, the discussion bled into the Seirim of Shavuos. I understand, but on Shavuos you have two goats that are brought on Shavuos. Normally it's Sirachad. But on Shavuos you have two goats, so the
second goat is for the in case of tumah
between one and two.
So that concern should exist for all other times also.
Right. In other words, but again, we don't know, right, but we don't know that second goat has to necessarily be set aside after the first goat. Meaning again, this went into the Gemara's discussion. In other words, the assumption is the Gemara said earlier the goats were set aside at the same time. But maybe not. Meaning maybe the one goat was set aside first, offered, and then the second goat has to be set aside and then offered.
Why not just have one goat and dip it into the very last second?
Okay.
It's a
fair question, but again, the starting point is the instructions of the Torah, and then from there we work forward. So
why are you concerned about Shavuot? Why not do the same thing for every other time?
Again, the starting point is what the Torah instructs us to do, and from there we go forward. So why Shavuot is different? It's a fair question. It's more than a fair question. I don't have an answer, but that's the starting point of the discussion. Okay. To the original question of the Gemara, whether or not when it comes to carbonola, again, the carbonola has broad coverage. It covers mitzvah sase, multiple mitzvah sase, different mitzvah sase. And right, and I say mitzvah sase, I mean the neglect of a mitzvah sase. And then the only question the Gemara dealt with is, would it also continue to provide its coverage even after you set aside the carbonola? After you set aside the carbonola, there's continued bittul asay, and is it going to provide coverage for that as well? And the Gemara seemingly has left us off with no clear-cut answer to that question. Itmar. The Gemara now addresses the following. We are in Zayin Amud Aleph, at the two dots towards the top of the Amud. Todah sheshachta l'shem todas chaveru. A todah that shechted l'shem todas chaveru. Now, I'm going to explain the Gemara like Rashi. In other words, not the simplest reading of the Gemara, because Rashi generally provides the simplest reading, but I'm going to explain the Gemara the way Rashi does. And over here, Rashi says, we are not discussing where I had a carbon Torah to offer and I had somebody else in mind, meaning we're not talking about the classic Shinui Balaam. But rather, says Rashi, what we're talking about over here is the following. If you take a look, Rashi is found about halfway down on the page. We're not talking about Shinui Balaam, says Rashi. The Ains of Shinui Balaam, Ela Shinui Kodesh. Shaisa Laruva in Toda Lashim and Toda, Acheres, Veshachelis Todaso, Shelze, Lashim Todaso, Shelze, Vuadim Veshoche, Chatas Chel, Lashim Chatas Da. Rashi explains like this. You know, we all know that you bring a carbon Toda as a way of thanking a Kodesh Baruch Hu for having gone through a life-threatening experience. And so, when you go through one of the four different life-threatening events, it was articulated in the Gemara in Brachos, so, right, called the Chaim Yaduch HaSela. The Chaim is an acronym for the various events in which a person, right, illness, traveling overseas, etc., etc. So there is a carbon Torah to be brought. There's a general discussion, a general question of whether or not it's an obligation to bring a carbon Torah, or it's strongly recommended, it's a mitzvah to do so. Okay, but in any event, so I have to bring a carbon Torah in the event that I have experienced one of these four events. And let's say my friend also comes to the base of Mikdash, and he also had a life-harrowing event, and he also needs to bring a carbon Torah. I had my reason, he had his reason. And the way Rashi explains the Gemara is that when the Kohen was shechting the carbon, so let's say that I just recovered from illness, my friend just traveled overseas, and the Kohen got, you know, he heard both stories, right? See, Kohen was, you know, great bedside manner. The Kohen has sympathetic, I can't believe that, it's amazing. Right here, here's the other story, that's amazing as well. And now when the Kohen is shechting the carbon Torah, so he checks my carbon Torah, and now he thinks it's a carbon Torah, he knows it's a carbon Torah, but he's got the reason all wrong. Meaning, I just recovered from illness, and my friend just traveled overseas, and so the Kohen now has in mind his reason, not my reason. And Rashi points out, the truth of the matter is, says Rashi, we could have asked the same question by carbon chatas. Meaning, I came in saying, look, I owe carbon chatas because I ate chalev, and my friend comes in saying, oh, I ate dam, and now the Kohen shechs my carbon chatas, and he now has dam in mind. This is for the avera of consumption of blood. Okay, so in other words, that's the way Rashi explains it. So in other words, he's got the right person in mind, but he's got the wrong reason in mind. Or the wrong impetus in terms of why this carbon is being brought. So, that's the way Rashi explains the Gemara, that's the way we're reading the Gemara. Itmar todah sheshach l'shem todah chaveru, Rabba amar kshera, Rav Chista amar psula. So machlokas amarayim, whether or not the carbon would be good or not. Rabba amar kshera, todah l'shem todah nishchata. So the Gemara gives a very straightforward, seemingly, right, simple reason on behalf of Rabba, and that is, look, the Kohen got most everything right. Meaning, he knows it's a carbon todah, he knows it's for you, but okay, got the reasons confused, but it's a todah l'shem todah. Okay, the basis of the carbon Torah, he got a little bit off, but basically he got most everything right. Rav Chista Amar Psula, Rav Chista says no. L'shum shamim didei nishchata b'ina. No. In other words, when the Kohen shechs it, he has to have not only you in mind, not only the carbon in mind, But he's going to have the right reason in mind. Shlamim d'day. It's your shlamim. And that means that this carbon that you're bringing has to be tailor-made for the reasons you bring it. The Kohen has to have that in mind and not another explanation in mind. I'm a Rabbi Menami, Nala D'Tanya. So Rabbi says, look, I think it's kosher, and let me bring a brisa that certainly would support my position. The Pasuk says, now, this should sound familiar because we did this just 3 days ago in the Daf. The Pasuk quoting the, the Gemara quoting the Pesukim regarding the Karban Todah. So Amr, right, Abba Chanan Amr Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Balame Todah Shashachl Shem Shlamim Shira. Let's say it's a carbon toda. And the Kohen had in mind while shechting this carbon, hey, I'm shechting this carbon shlamim. That's fine. Because as we explained a couple days ago, a toda is really a subset of a carbon shlamim. So the fact that the Kohen said shlamim, that's fine. Shlamim shenishchu l'shem toda psulim. However, it doesn't work in the reverse. If it's a general carbon shlamim, and the Kohen is now thinking carbon toda, well, that doesn't work. Carbon toda is a subspecific set within shlamim. So if it's a regular shlamim and the Kohen's thinking toda, that doesn't work. The Gemara over here explains it under the category of nomenclature, meaning that we know that a toda is a shlamim, but a shlamim is not called, referred to as a carbon toda. And now, after Rabbi quoted this whole brisa, now Rabbi's going to make his point. Shlamim l'shem toda psula, meaning, where do we get to the point of psul? Where it's a shlamim and I'm offering it l'shem toda. Now the deal goes like this. Ha-toda l'shem toda k'shera. But if let's say the Kohen had toda in mind and it is a carbon toda, and even though it's not identical, and again, what's the difference? Meaning what the Kohen got confused was the reason behind the carbon toda, but seemingly it would be kosher. My la de chavre. So the Gemara says, and if this diuk is correct, where exactly are, where did the Kohen miss? What did he whiff on? What he whiffed on was the reason why you're bringing the carbon toda. Meaning you just recovered from an illness, and the Kohen's thinking to himself, I'm bringing this carbon toda for this guy because he just traveled overseas. Meaning he had somebody else's story in mind. So the Gemara says, isn't that what we're talking about? Lo. The Gemara says, no, that's not what we're talking about. What are we talking about? D-Day. We're talking about his own reason. And now you have to ask the question, well, if the Kohen's bringing a carbon toda, the shame carbon toda, with the right reason in mind, like why else, why would you think that shouldn't be okay? Rashi over here explains, lo di day, Rashi first, or right before the wide lines. V'afa pishlo bal al hodaya achas, der arbet zrichon lahodos, kedamina bebrachos, uksib buhu v'yizbuchu zivchei toda, v'shachar toda v'shas aliyasom and yam l'shem toda, shehifrish al yitziyasom mebeis ha'asurim. Meaning that this guy over here had a reason in which he came out, and the Kohen didn't confuse him with another person's reason, but the Kohen just simply misremembered in terms of why you needed to bring the carbon toda. So the Gemara says, "Aval dechavre my psula." So the Gemara says, well, "So you're telling me that if the Kohen had somebody else's reason in mind, so you're now suggesting that's pasul." So the Gemara says, "Ad detani shlamim l'shem toda psula l'sne toda l'shem toda v'koshekin shlamim l'shem toda." So the Gemara says, "Well, then the brisa should be giving the bigger chiddush. The larger chiddush would be now where it's a carbon toda. Sorry, now where it's a carbon shlamim and the Kohen thought toda." But what the brisa should have given us is the example of, it's a total shem toda. Kohen knew it was a carbon toda. Kohen thought it was a carbon toda. But he confused your reason with somebody else's reason. And under those circumstances to be possible, why doesn't the brisa give us the seemingly the bigger chiddush? And the Gemara explains. Shlam l'shem toda didei yitzirich le'sakadat chamina mida toda kuri shlam shlam inami kuri toda. V'chishak alohu l'shem toda l'chshu kamash malan. The Gemara says no, because here's what the Brisa wanted to avoid, the following misconception, the following mistake. Look, we just got done saying that a toda offered as a shlamim is good. Why? Because toda is called a shlamim. So if it works in one direction, shouldn't it also work in the other direction as well? Meaning, shouldn't a shlamim be, when offered as a carbon toda, be okay as well? Isn't it a two-way street? The Brisa knows that that could have potentially been our conclusion. That's why the Brisa had to clarify and say, no, it's a one-way street. A toda is referred to as a shlamim, but a shlamim is not referred to as a toda. Yes, it's true. A total shem toda also may not be good. But the Brisa thought that this point was just as important to make, that a toda could be offered as a shlamim, but not the opposite, not the reverse. Okay. Adkan, so on the question of, a carbon torah shechted as a carbon torah, but the Kohen confused the reason in terms of why it's being brought. So a machlok is between Rabba and Rav Chista, whether such a carbon would be kosher or pasul. Rav says kosher, and Rav Chista says the carbon would be pasul. In other words, the Gemara thought the Brisa would help. The Gemara pointed out the Brisa does not necessarily help.
Not that if it's Toda going to Shalamim, that supports Shalat. Going to Toda is Shalamim.
That was the Gemara.
Shalamim, so it should be okay.
That's correct. That was the Gemara's argument.
That's acceptable. I mean, that's acceptable.
The Gemara didn't accept it as an absolute argument. Rabba thought it was a good argument. Okay, it's a fair question. I don't know. All right, we're on Zayin Amud Aleph. We're halfway down on the Amud. And now, statements by Rava. I counted six statements altogether by Rava. Rava is going to be giving us really nuanced, detailed halachas within both Shinui Kodesh and Shinui Bailim. So let's call this number one. Amar Rava. Chatzos sheshechted l'shem chatzos kshera. If let's say carbon chatzos was shechted l'shem chatzos, so such a carbon would be kosher. Now Rashi over here points out, the Gemara is telling us a chiddush. Rav is telling us a chiddush. Rashi says, Rashi is about five lines after the lines get wide. Four lines. Chatzos sheshechted l'shem chatzos kigon, chatzos chela shenishchut l'shem chatzos dam. Let's say when the Kohen shechted it, again, he knows it's a carbon chatzos, he knows who it belongs to, but what he didn't get clear was, why is the guy bringing it? So he thinks that the guy ate chalev, and meanwhile the guy ate dam, or conversely. So in other words, he got the reason behind the carbon chatzos wrong, but, in other words, I say it simply, he got most of it right. He got the carbon right, he got the person right, he got the reason wrong, but, according to Rava, such a carbon would be fine. Chatos sheshach l'shem chatos kshera l'shem ola psula. But if he shechted l'shem ola, so such a carbon would be possible. My taima v'shachat osa l'chatos amar rachmana v'arei chatos l'shem chatos nishchata l'shem ola psula. As long as he understands that it's a carbon chatos, again, the reason he may have confused, but as long as he understands it's a carbon chatos, such a carbon would be acceptable. But if he had another carbon in mind, an ola as an example, so then it would be possible. That's statement number one of Rava. Two. Amarava. Chatzos sheshechted l'amisha mechuyev chatzos, psula. Now we move on to the topic of Shinui Bailim. Shinui Bailim, as we have already discussed already a number of times, is when you have the wrong owner in mind. Again, most of the time by Shinui Bailim, just like Shinui Kodesh, it creates now a disconnection. It detaches the carbon from its owner. However, when it comes to carbon chatzos, Shinui Kodesh is a psul, Shinui Bailim is going to be a psul as well. I'm going to remind you what we've already discussed a couple times in the Masechta, but now let's say it again. Rashi over here writes it again. Shinui Bailim is only by Zrika. It's not by Shechita, it's not by Kabbalah Sadam, it's not by Holacha. It's only by Zrika. And as I explained already a number of times, again, I'm presenting it like Rashi and like Tosfos. The reason why is because when it comes to the owner receives his kapara through the Zrika Sadam. So if the Kohen has another person in mind during the Zrika Sadam, so then that is going to create detachment. Now, here I know we're going to be talking about Shechita over here. If Shinui Bailim only applies by Zrika, so how can we talk about Shechita? So like we said earlier, and like we're going to say right now again, in other words, when the Kohen was shechting it, he articulated and said, and I'm going to sprinkle the blood for so-and-so. And so-and-so happened to have been not the owner. So in other words, while doing the avodah, he's considering now the zrikas adam, and if it's for another person, that's shinui balam. Okay. So now with all that in mind, amarava chatos sheshach la mishem chuyev chatos psula mishem chuyev ola kshera. Really interesting halacha when it comes to in shinui balam, and it goes like this: if when the kohen shechs the carbon chatos in mind and he has another person, it can only be another person when that other person is also chayv a carbon chatos. If that other person is not chayv a carbon chatzos, but only chayv a carbon ola, so that's not another person. Because it's a different carbon, it's a different category altogether. It kind of touches on the idea that we discussed earlier in the Masechta, mina machriv, shalom mina lo machriv. The more similar it is, the more it's a problem. The more dissimilar it is, the more basically we're not even in the same ballpark. So here, if the Kohen's thinking about somebody else, it only registers as somebody else, when that somebody else is also chayv a karmel chatos. My taima, the Gemara gives a drasha, v'chipir alav, alav alo chavero, chaver demididei, b'mechuyev kapara kamoso. When the Torah says, the Kohen has to think about him and not somebody else, meaning somebody else similar to him, just like he's chayv a karmel chatos, and somebody else has to be chayv a karmel chatos as well. Okay, and so now, as an interesting detail within Shinui Bailim, If the Kohen had somebody else in mind who was not Chayav a Karban Chatos, that's not Shinui Bala. Meaning it's basically, it's nothing. It's not a thought. Now, the tricky part is going to be this next little bit of Gemara. It's tricky, but hopefully we're going to navigate. We'll navigate through this next part. Amar Rav Chatos Sheshach Lamishen Amuchuyav Klum Psula. Now, Rav in his very next statement says, now let's say the Kohen has somebody else in mind who is not Chayav a Karban altogether. Now, if I didn't know anything, if the Gemara had not brought down the third halacha of Rava, well, I would have said, well, we just learned together, Shinui Balam is only when he has somebody else in mind, is Chayav Karban Chatos. If another person that the Kohen has in mind is Chayav nothing, well, for sure that's okay. Meaning that's not Shinui Balam. And oddly enough, Rava teaches us that if the Kohen has somebody else in mind who is not Chayav Karban at all, Psula. That's Shinui Balam. Why now? Why is that? Huh?
Why is that Shinui Kachem if there's no.
He has no. In other words, he knows it's a carbon chatos, but he has somebody else in mind who is not chayav a carbon at all. Shinui balam. So the Gemara says,
there's no way that he's assigning it to.
No, he's thinking about another person.
But that other person is not eligible, right?
That's what makes this confusing, which is now what we're going to clarify. Amishen mechuyav klum psula. So such a carbon would be possible. This is shinui balam. How could this be shinui balam? So the Gemara explains. So the Gemara says, and I know it's not so optimistic, but the Gemara understands that we're humans. And as humans living on this earth, so every one of us at one point or another is going to be obligated on an assay. Meaning assay is now connected to the carbonola. And Rava says, look, when you bring a carbon chatas, so not only is it going to clear up the isser karis that you're liable for, but it's also going to provide coverage for essay as well. And he bases this on an argument. What's the argument? It's a really simple argument. Look, that carbon chatz has provided kapara for an isser kares. So if it's providing kapara for isser kares, don't you think it's going to be providing kapara for the quote-unquote lesser bitul essay as well? So the Gemara says, now wait one second. Now the Gemara says, now I'm thoroughly confused. Now I'm thoroughly confused because what just happened? Meaning in the previous ruling of Rava, Rava said that when the Kohen has someone who's Chayav Karban Ola in mind, so he's not in the discussion. He is not Chayav Karban Chatos, and therefore different category altogether. That's not Shinui Balam. Shinui Balam is only when you have somebody who at least is in the Parsha, who himself is Chayav Karban Chatos. And now Rav is telling us, well, if the Kohen had somebody in mind who was not Chayav Karban at all, oh, for that person, oh, since he probably is Chayav a Karban, and since a Karban Chatos will clear up his Averos, so therefore he's in the Parsha. Gemara says, but if a person neglected a mitzvah essay, so that means that best he's Chayav Karban Ola, but a Karban Ola is a different Parsha, as we just got done saying. So the Gemara's answer, and this is the second time now we're hearing this kind of answer in the Masechta, Mikvah, we're on the top of Zayin Amud Beis, Mikvah lo mechapra, mikufya kapara. Look, says the Gemara, when you bring a Karban Chatas, principally what is it providing coverage for? The Isser Karis that you violated. A person ate Chalev. So you're bringing a Karban Chatas, and principally now, the main component of kapara of the carbon chatas is going on the chalev that the person ate. And then as residual kapara, it's also going to be providing kapara for any of the bitul asay, according to Rava. And therefore, Gemara says, let's consider. And I'm explaining the Gemara like Rashi. I'm simply paraphrasing Rashi over here. The second Rashi in the Amud. Let's consider. If a person, let's say, again, the Kohen has the Karban Chatos that he's about to shecht, and the person who brought it is Chayav Karban Chatos. Fine. And now the Kohen had somebody else in mind. If that person is Chayav Karban Ola, and he already set aside a Karban Ola, now let's consider. The Chatos is principally providing Kapara for the Isser Kares. As a residual providing Kapara for a Bitul Asay. And when the Kohen has that other person in mind who's Chayav Karban Ola, that other person that now already set aside a carbon for his essay, and so therefore we're not in the same ballpark. We're not in the same category. The principal person who's bringing this carbon is chayav a carbon chatos. The other person is, I'm sorry, the chatas residually does provide a kapara for an essay, but the other person already set aside his carbon for an essay.
Okay.
Wait, just give me, let me just finish. Let me finish this point. But let's not talk about a person who didn't bring a carbon altogether. What the Gemara is now suggesting, and again, I'm just saying it like Rashi. What the Gemara is now suggesting is as follows. If let's say the Kohen had not the principal person in mind, meaning the person who's chayv a carbon chatos, but the other person. The other person who did not set aside any carbon whatsoever. Here now, they're in the same ballpark. Why are they in the same ballpark? Because had it been that the second person would have been a carbon, would have been subject to a carbon chatos, that carbon chatos that he would have been subject to also would have covered his assays as well. So now at least potentially they could be within the same ballpark, they can be within the same category. And oddly enough, it is a strange conclusion. If the Kohen had somebody else in mind who was chayv a carbon ola and set aside a carbon ola, that's not shinui balim. If the other person would be chayv a carbon ola but has not set it aside, and now it could at least be a candidate to bring a carbon chatas and have that serve as a kapara for his bitul aseis, so now such an individual would be in the same ballpark. Okay, I know that little gemara over there was tricky. I know it's a really interesting way of looking at a carbon chatas and who can be a candidate within that carbon.
According to the rabbi, a person cannot never bring a chatas and all together. So one gives birth,
right,
and two births, which only bring a chatas.
Right. Well, stay tuned. Your question's very good, and I'd say about 10 minutes from now, the Gemara is going to directly answer your question. Okay, that's very well formulated. Amar Rava. We are now on the very top of Zayin Amud Beis. We are now up to the fourth statement of Rava, as I count it. Amar Rava, Ola Sheshachs Shaloshma, Asa Lizrok Dama, Shaloshma. Now, it sounds familiar. Not only does it sound familiar, it is familiar. The Gemara already taught us this earlier. We get to see it again. Let's say the Kohen, Shech did a Shaloshma. In other words, the very simple, straightforward Shinui Kodesh, for the Shechita. He's going to continue doing the avoda because, as we learn, most of the time, the carbon is still brought, it's just detached from its owner. When you do the rest of the avodas, don't continue making the same mistake. Meaning, have the right carbon in mind, even though you've created already a detachment. Now, why? Ibai se makra, ibai se masvar, ibai se makra, mosis fasecha tishmor, ibai se masvar, mishum deshani ba, kiderish pirka. And the Gemara just simply reminds us, remember what we learned at the beginning of the Masechta. Either it's based on the drasha of Moses Vasecha Tishmor, if it's not a neder, it'll be nadava. Or a simple svara. Just because you made a mistake one time doesn't give you the right to compound the mistake again and again. Next, fifth statement of Rava. Amar Rava. Ola abala acha misa, shachta b'shinu kodesh psula, b'shinu b'alam ksheira. Let's say carbon ola is brought after the person has died. We discussed this already extensively in the earlier dapim in the Masechta. The person set aside a carbon, but didn't get a chance to bring it. He died. So the Yerushim, those who are going to inherit him, next of kin, they're going to bring this carbon. Now, the Gemara says, what if the Kohen has Shinuyim with such a carbon? Shinui Kodesh? Okay. Shinui Kodesh is not good. Meaning, that now will disqualify the carbon. Now, even though the Gemara uses the words disqualification over here is a little bit tricky because we're talking about a carbon ola. Shinui Kodesh doesn't disqualify. Rashi writes over here, lo altav etzarech hayorish la'vi acheres. It means that didn't satisfy the father's obligation, the kids are going to have to bring a new carbon. Okay, in other words, but the carbon itself is not pasul. Fine. Shinui bailin. But here Rava says like this, what if there was shinui bailin by such a carbon? So here, kshera. Ein balam la'achar misa. Interesting. Rava says that if we're bringing a carbon post-mortem, so there's no real ownership of the carbon, meaning because the owner no longer is here. And if the Kohen has another person in mind, well, it's only a deviation if there's a principal owner. If there's no longer a principal owner, so there can't really be shinui bailim as it relates to such a carbon. Now, on this, Rav Pinchas disagrees. Rav Pinchas b'rei de Rav Ami amar yesh bailim la'achamisa. Now, he says, no, there is an owner even after the person's dead. Now, what did he mean by that? Amar le Rav Ashi le Rav Pinchas b'rei de Rav Ami. Dafka kamar yesh bam lachemisa ubay lasuya olachrita odilma diika kama asay gabe mechapre. Now, when he made that statement, was he saying that dafka Dafka, meaning like this. Meaning, is he fundamentally arguing with Rava? Rava's saying after the person's dead, you can still bring the karban. Shinu ibalam, don't worry about it. And what Rav Pinchas is saying is, what do you mean don't worry about it? No, worry about it. Meaning, this karban is supposed to be brought for this individual, but this individual is no longer here. So in other words, you can't bring it for that person because he's simply not here anymore. That's one way to understand Rav Pinchas. Or the second way to understand Rav Pinchas is that no. In other words, there exists a certain amount of flexibility within such a karban. Meaning that the kids will bring it, and if the kids have a reason for themselves to bring it, meaning if the kids need some sort of coverage for themselves, so then the karban can be brought for the kids. And the Gemara's answer is, Amalei Dafka Kamina. No. Rav Pinchas is fundamentally arguing with Rabba, meaning that when the person died, so now because the karban was set aside for that person and he's no longer here, it now behooves the children to have to bring another karban, because this karban simply will not work. Okay. The sixth statement of Rava, Amar Rava. Ola Daronhi. A karban ola is a gift. Now, I know that that is a little bit confusing because we spent the last couple of days in the Gemara discussing and detailing how a karban ola could serve as a kapara, as coverage for bitul aseh, for the negation of aseh. But Rava over here very clearly articulates and says no. The karban ola should be viewed as a gift. Hechidami. Now the Gemara says, let's see if we can explain this even better. Either like a tshuva, if the person who brought it is not subject to, did not do tshuva, so zevach rishayim toeva. So in other words, so the person is a rasha, and a carpenter of a rasha is just simply not accepted. The idika tshuva, if the person did tshuva, hatanya. Well, in other words, on bitul asay, on the neglect of doing a mitzvah asay, if you do genuine tshuva, do you know when the tshuva is accepted? Immediately. The Gemara quotes a brisa from Yuma. Avraham mitzvah asay v'shav lo zaz misham asham ochelum lo. We know the halacha is regarding tshuva on a mitzvah asay. A person neglected an asay and sincerely now wants to repent and do tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts the tshuva immediately. So elosh mamina doronhu. So the Gemara says, so really, what is the karban ola? It's a gift. Now, skip the parentheses. Tanya Ameachi, the Gemara quotes the Brisa, Amar Rabbi Shimon Chatos Amabal, Amabal, Lechaper. The Gemara, the way it originally presents itself, why do we bring a chatas? We know why we bring a chatas. It's a kapara. Ella. Lama ba'a lifnei ola. No, the question of the Gemara itself is like, the Gemara didn't allow to finish the sentence. But now, we have finished the sentence. Why is the chatas brought before the ola? Le praklit shenichnas, reach the praklit nichnas daron acharav. Let's say you and the king have a falling out. You and the king have a falling out, and you need to patch up the relationship. So you send in, Rashi describes the praklit as a melitz tov. So you send in somebody to solidify the relationship between you and the king. Okay, a good representative, and he did exactly that. Meaning he goes to the king and explains, you know what? He's a good guy. This is what he meant. Okay, and he repaired the relationship. And now the king says, okay, now that everything's cleared up, come back in. You come back in with a gift. The Gemara says that's how we view the karban ola. The karban chatas repairs the relationship. The karban ola, now that you're coming back in, you're coming in with a gift. So Rava says the proper way to look at a karban ola is that it's a daron, it's really a gift. Now with that stated, by the way, what do we do with all the Gemaras that we've just spent the last couple of days learning? Meaning that the karban ola is serving as coverage for bitul aseh. So it could, I don't know, it's tricky. Meaning the Gemara over here conclusively says that the correct way to look at a karban ola is that it's really a gift. It's fundamentally a gift. It's not there to really serve as a kapara. Could be that the last number of Gemaras that we did just simply mean that in the event that you don't know about bitul aseh, so then it provides kapara. Rashi seems to indicate that earlier. Rashi talked about how it's megin al yisurim. It protects you from any suffering. It could be that that's another way to look at the karban ola, although clearly over here the Gemara looks at it as a daron. It's a gift. Okay. Let's continue in the Gemara now. We are at the two dots on Zayin Amud Beis. And so now after many different discussions, some of them are kind of digressions from the Mishnah's basic point about Shinu Kodesh and Shinu Abalim, we return back to the Mishnah and now we're noting the two notable exceptions. Generally speaking, if there's Shinui Kodesh or Shinui Balim, but the Mishnah really talks about Shinui Kodesh, if the Kohen, when doing any one of the four Avodas, has another carbon in mind, generally speaking, the carbon is still kosher, but but it's no longer going to provide credit for its owner. The owner and the carbon now are disconnected one from another. The owner is going to have to bring another carbon. That is what we learned together in the beginning of the Mishnah. Kol hazvachim shenizbechu shelo shmam ksherim. Elo shelo alu labalim l'shem chova. That is the general rule regarding Shinui Kodesh. Two notable exceptions, Karban Pesach and a Karban Chatos. How do I know that they are the notable exceptions? So for the remainder of today's daf, we talk about Karban Pesach being one of the notable exceptions. HaPesach HaChatos Pesach Minalan. How do I know that Karban Pesach, really the Gemara's question over here is twofold. One, is that when you shechit Karban Pesach, I need lechatchila to do l'shma. Two, a failure of l'shma, meaning you have another carbon in mind, disqualifies. So how do I know that? So the Gemara is going to cite a number of psukim. The Gemara quotes first, Shemoris Chodesh Aviv, Asisa Pesach. She call Asiyosav L'Shem Pesach. The Torah, when describing the Karban Pesach, says, Va'asisa Pesach. You do the Karban Pesach, meaning, on any doing, meaning avodas, so it has to be done, L'Shem Pesach. Ashkar Chan Shinu Kodesh Shinu Balam Inala. Great. The Pasuk teaches me about Shinu Kodesh, but about Shinu Balam. And again, the Gemara is meticulous in terms of sourcing all the halachas to a pasuk. Dichsiv amartem zevach pesachu shetei zvich l'shem pesach. So we have another pasuk saying it has to be l'shem pesach. Now this is talking about shinui kodesh. So imeno ingin l'shinui kodesh taneo ingin l'shinui balam. And the Gemara uses the rule that we used earlier that if I have a superfluous drasha, so therefore what I'm entitled to do, I mean, not, I don't mean I, meaning me, and what Chazal are entitled to do is take the drasha and apply to something similar. If I can't apply to Shinu Kodesh, I'll take the second drasha and apply to Shinu Balam. Ashkechan lemitzvah la'akiv minalan. So far, all I know is that lichatchila you have to have the right karban and the right person in mind. How do I know that by Karban Pesach it's li'ikuva? It disqualifies the Karban Pesach. Amakra v'zavachta Pesach la'Hashem Elokecha. So the Gemara quotes another pasuk. Maskevla Rav Safra Hai Vizavach Lachud Asa Hai Mi Baile Lechad Rav Nachman. The Gemara says, well, that pasuk you just quoted actually has already been dedicated to another drasha. De Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rav Abaravu Aminayin Lamosa Pesach Shekrav Shlamin. What if I have a surplus Karban Pesach? Right? Rashi gives a simple example. I set this aside as Karban Pesach. I lost it. I ended up getting a replacement. I used the replacement and then I found my original Karban Pesach. But now it's surplus. I don't need it anymore. What do I do with it? Offer it as a shlamim. How do I know that? Shenamar v'zavachta pesach l'Hashem l'kechet tzon u'bakar. Because the pasuk in Parshas Re'ei tells us that you're going to shech the Karban Pesach tzon u'bakar. That is a really strange pasuk. Tzon u'bakar. Karban Pesach is either a goat or it's a sheep. It's not cattle. V'alo ein pesach ba'elam niksavim or kvasim u'minayizim. Mikan l'mosa pesach she'el l'dvar haba min tzon u'min ha'bakar u'mayni u'shlamim. What the Torah is doing over here is it's tipping us off that if I can't bring the Karban Pesach as a Karban Pesach, let's say I don't need to, it's a surplus. So under those circumstances, you bring it from something which is eligible to be brought by either Sonu Bakar. And Rashi over here explains, how do I know that that's referring to Shlamim? Because there's simply no other Karban that can be brought from both male and female sheep and cattle. Meaning, if it's Karban Chatas, Rashi goes through them all. If it's a Karban Chatas that only comes from female, either only female or only male, right? For the general population, only female. For a king, male. For a Kohen, male. And if we're talking about an Ola, only male. The only thing that, if we're talking about an Asham, only male. The only thing that can be brought from both male and female is a Karban Shlamim. So Alam Rav Safra. So now what we have to do is we're going to have to find other drashas. So the Gemara says v'zavach the pesach lichad Rav Nachman. So you're right. So the pasuk that we just cited v'zavach the pesach, that's teaching us the halacha that we just learned that moser pesach, that surplus karban pesach, can be brought as a shlamin. Shemoris chodesh aviv lemitzvah v'shinui kodesh. So the pasuk of Shemoris chodesh aviv is telling us that lichatchila you have to have the shema of the carbon. Ve'amartem zevach pesach v'shinui balam lemitzvah. The pasuk of Amartam Zevach Pesach is the second drasha that gets us to Shinui Balam, Lemitzvah. And who, and the word who is La'akev Bein Hacha V'Hacha. Ashkechan Zvich Hashar Avodas Minalan. Now I know that Shechita has to be done L'Shma, and I know it's Le'ikuvah. How about the other Dal Avodos? Hol V'Gali Gali. So the Gemara's first argument is, well, once the Torah reveals it to us by one of the Avodas, so then we should know by the other Avodas as well. Rav Ashi Amar Hol V'Gali V'Gali Lo Amrinan. Rav Ashi doesn't buy that argument. Ella, Avodas minalim dechsev zosa Torah laolal lemincha. Vitanya b'yom savasos bnei Yisrael akir v'skarbenayim zebechor u'maiser u'pesach. He kisho akasav l'shlamim. The Torah equates the Karban Pesach and Meiser and Bechor to that of a Karban Shlamim. Ashlamim ben shinu kodesh, ben shinu ebalim be'ina le'mitzvah. Av kol ben shinu kodesh, ben shinu ebalim le'mitzvah. Once I know that by all other Karbanos, both there is a shinu kodesh and shinu ebalim by all dollar avodos, same thing is going to be true by Karban Pesach. Uvishlamim ashlamim ben zvicha ben shar avodos, lo chalak tebem le'mitzvah, av Pesach lo tachlo ben zvicha le shar avodos la'akev. And by Karban Pesach, now I know that it applies to all four avodos. And now I know that by Shechita, it's la'akev, so too by the other four avodos, it's going to be la'akev as well. Elahu lamali. Now that means actually that it turns out that the word who is not needed to generate this halacha. What is who coming to teach me? Kedetanya. Nemra bePesach who b'Shechita la'akev. Ava asham lo nemra bo hu, ela la'achar haktaris imurim. V'hu atzmo shelo hukteru imurav kasher. So the Gemara actually is teaching us that. The word who by Karban Pesach is not teaching us anything regarding Karban Pesach. It actually is serving as a way of contrasting the halachas by Karban Pesach to the halachas of Karban Asham. We will learn in a couple days from now by the Karban Asham. So it is, if Shinui Kodesh is done, it's not Li'ikuva. I know there's a Tana, Rabbi Eliezer of our Mishnah, who disagrees on that point. But in other words, the Chachamim say that by Asham, it's not Li'ikuva. How do I know that? Because look at the word who as it relates to Karban Pesach. Look at the word who as it relates to Karban Asham. We'll talk about this later on in more detail. But basically, it's very clear that that by contrasting Karban Pesach and Karban Asham, and where we find the word who by Karban Pesach versus Karban Asham, you see that by Karban Asham, it's not Li'ikuva. We'll explain that point a lot better later on. Okay, what have we accomplished today? We talked about the idea that when it comes to Karban Tzibor, funds of the Karban Tzibor are flexible, and that flexibility allows us to, if necessary, repurpose the carbon, if necessary, even though generally speaking by carbonos, once you set aside a carbon, it's locked into that place and it's not redeemable. But carbon tzibur could be different because of the principle of lay base and mas nalei. And then the Gemara dove into a lot of details regarding shinui kodesh and shinui ba'alim. We started with a machlokas. What if the Kohen had the right carbon in mind, but the wrong reason in mind? Is that going to upset the carbon? Machlokas Rav and Rav Chisda. The Gemara then quoted six different statements of Rava regarding details within Shinui Kodesh and Shinui Balim. And then the sixth statement was that the carbon ola, the right way to look at it is that it's really fundamentally a gift. That's why it's brought after the carbon chatas. Chatas repairs the relationship, and then the carbon ola is basically the gift that you did after reconciliation. And then the rest of the daf today, we talked about how the carbon pesach, if you do either shinu kodesh or shinu balan by the carbon pesach, so that not only disconnects, but that actually disqualifies the actual carbon from being brought as a carbon. How do we know that? And the Gemara in the remainder of today's daf cited psukim and drashas in terms of how we arrived at that conclusion.